These days, if we say, "Amen," immediately someone is bound to ask us, "Okay, but are you all in?" This is the question Jesus asks in our gospel passage from the start. Are you all in? As poetic as John's famous one-liners sound, reading them in context can be disorientating. Jesus' proclamation that the truth sets us free appears to be in a tense discussion between Jesus and his Jewish audience. Stripped from its context, Jesus' statement on freedom more readily and dangerously appeals to whatever one thinks freedom means. Freedom does not mean that we are free to do whatever we want, as much as notions of autonomy may inform our own cultural understandings of what it means to be free. Rather, for us as Christians, it means to be bound to a relationship with God and with all creation, a relationship that is marked by intimacy and by freedom from sin and death. Since this passage constructs freedom in terms of being in a relationship marked by liberation from sin and death, John's gospel challenges us to examine the current state of our personal and social relationships. What relationships in our lives are liberative and life-affirming for us and for others? A particularly poignant question, considering today we are marking the National Day for Truth and Reconciliation. What relationships and systems do we participate in that sustain the oppressing bondage of colonization and result in destruction on personal, social, and even environmental levels? What can we do to transform destructive relationships in our lives and the world into relationships that liberate instead of oppress? How do we reimagine our social structures so that they serve liberation and justice? How do we recognize when the good news of the gospel is cloaked in language of empire rather than the affirming spirit of freedom and new life in Christ? It is indeed so important to situate our gospel passage in its historical context and recognize that this is a family dispute, Jews talking to Jews. As Gail O'Day notes, the long history of Christian anti-Semitism and of Christian proselytizing bears witness to the distorted history to which words like those in John 8 have given rise. The Gospel of John, as deeply shaped as it is by the fabric and texture of Jewish scripture and liturgical tradition, is not an ally for Christian anti-Semitism or oppression of any kind. Only in chapter 8 does the language of freedom occur primarily as a verb. Being set free is a dynamic process because it sets us free from falsehood, hatred, and faithlessness. The liberating truth that reveals our secure place in the household of God as beloved children, free to do the good work of the gospel of love. Jesus has the power to free, given to him by God, with whom he shares complete unity of will and power. But misconstrued freedom typically leads to sin and injustice. The question to ask in the process is, how is the use of freedom affecting our real, live relationships with each other and the community? If it damages and oppresses, then sin is lurking at the door. If, on the other hand, our hard-won freedom is used to promote the abundant flourishing of all peoples and creation, then it can properly be called freedom. So friends, when it comes to truth, freedom, and true freedom, let me pose a question. Are you all in? Amen.